Hey, everybody, it's Rob Lowe here. If you haven't heard, I have a podcast that's called Literally with Rob Lowe. And basically, it's conversations I've had that really make you feel like you're pulling up a chair at an intimate dinner between myself and people that I admire, like Aaron Sorkin or Tiffany Haddish, Demi Moore, Chris Pratt, Michael J. Fox. There are new episodes out every Thursday, so subscribe, please, and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
When I found out I was going to be a parent, I immediately felt a lot of anxiety and worry. So I went on to BetterHelp to try to look for a therapist to help me with that.
My relationship with my family and with my boyfriend and with myself were suffering. I really needed help.
I was ruminating a lot. Really getting those thoughts out to a therapist and getting feedback was just life-changing.
If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Welcome to the Friends.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesco, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the Friend Zone.
Let's start the show. I'm in the zone.
Well, it's the end of the year, so I figured I'd be clear. We ain't did no freestyle all goddamn year. Y'all forgot I had flow. I said I'd give it a go. It's Christmas time. I bring the ho, ho, ho. That's all I'm going to give y'all. Welcome to the Friend Zone, your weekly look into all things mental health, mental wellness, and mental hygiene. That's right. No, just give him a little shoulder and take it right back. That's all we wanted to do. Do something different just to bring in the end of the year. Wrap up. Okay. Welcome to the Friend Zone.
You're a true listener if you remember the episodes where they started with the freestyle.
Damn right. How's everybody doing out there?
Amazing. How about you?
I'm doing wonderful myself, you know. I love this time of year. Let's get those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ring, ringling too, okay?
I have had a crazy 2019. I guess to kick it off, I want to say I love you both so much.
Oh, yes, feelings.
I hate to even do this.
No, let's do this.
But I love you both so much, and shout out to everybody that came to the Friend Zone Atlanta.
Yes. Oh my God, what a great show.
Our last live show of the year. It was amazing to be in the city that birthed me with two of my favorite people doing, with four of my favorite people.
Legit.
Shout out to Jade and Kid being out there with us. I love traveling with y'all, working with y'all. I may be a brat at times, but you know, I love y'all.
So honestly, much fun.
Thank you. Yeah, I love you too, man.
Y'all are great people, and I think it's great that we get to do this great work together and we get to share these moments every year.
Every year, man.
Shout out to y'all.
And Thank you. Atlanta was so much fun.
Atlanta was a magical, what an magical energy, experience. Right? Yeah. The Atlanta showed us so much damn love. Shout out to them supporting our first pop-up of our tour experience.
And Slutty Vegan shout for pulling up with the
Slutty
truck.
Slutty Vegan woke it the fuck up.
I finally had thoughts, reviews,
comments.
Which burger did you have? The Sloppy Toppy?
The Sloppy Toppy. And it was so good. It had jalapeno, so it had like a little spice to it. Oh my God. You saw me.
Can I say?
I ate it in Asante's hotel
room. Everybody finished their burger and fries.
In 3.5 seconds.
Everybody finished all of their food. And I was like, this is amazing.
Oh, this is so amazing. I was exhausted. This was like after the show. It was like, what, 1 a.m. or something crazy?
Late.
We were late chilling in Asante's hotel room before I headed off to a friend's house. And I was starving, and literally Asante was like, oh, Pinky's going to bring some. I'm like, what? Don't play with me. She brought it to the hotel. Well, put it in an Uber and brought it to the hotel, which was so thoughtful.
Thank you, Pinky.
Thank you, Pinky. You were just the realest, so kind, so thoughtful, and it was a pleasure working with you on our pop-up. Yeah.
And so successful. Shout out to Pinky. Love to see it.
The line was wrapped around the block.
People fucking love Slutty Vegan. What a brand.
They love Slutty Vegan. I love the fact that it's part of our ecosystem. You know, watching Pinky, she's grown so much in such a short amount of time, because I know she has so many ideas and so much to offer. So shout out to her and all her success, and the fact that we get to share that with her and she shared it with us.
And then was in the audience chilling,
watched the show and dipped out quick as fuck, because you know you owe me a t-shirt. But you know, me and her gonna talk about that. You know, I know Dustin's gonna be back in Atlanta soon, so hopefully you can get him some more. You know, Pinky, hopefully you can get you some.
Shout out to Pinky.
And also, we have some news for a live appearance next year.
Yay. Big announcement time.
Brr, 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 brr.
Oh, yeah.
you know, we love an announcement. We love forward an motion, and that's exactly what we have. So something new, something fresh that we decided to do for 2020. We're actually having a live show here in New York City.
Yay!
On February 13th.
That's a Thursday.
2020, Thursday, February 13th at 9 p.m. Now, this show is going to take place at Sony Hall here in New York City.
Look at that.
That's right. Shout out to Being Broadway, adjacent. So it's just a great moment. We're going to do something really, really special and really themed to Valentine's Day, which is the next day. So what a great way to kick off your personal Valentine's Day celebration, yes, either with your goddamn self or with whoever else you want to share that moment with. You know, we accept everybody around here.
Amen to that.
So come play with us the day before Valentine's Day. Again, that's going to be here in New York City at Sony Hall. Lots and lots of details to come forth. You can get your tickets for that at SonyHall.com. That's SonyHall.com/events/TheFriendZone. And there are dashes in between The Friend and Zone.
I love and that. And I saw that when you go on the Sony Hall site, it says it's cabaret-style seating.
Absolutely.
Yes. And it's first come, first serve. So
absolutely.
That's
so
really cute. It's
served
the night before Valentine's Day.
It's after a
dinner will be available.
Yeah. It's going to be like cocktail-ish, yes, dinner. Yeah. Just a completely different vibe for us. Instead of the regular like auditorium style performance, this is gonna be
much more intimate, dinner served,
vibey,
drink served,
yes,
lamps well lit, dimly lit.
Ooh,
you know what I mean?
So special guests,
that's all you need is dim lights and a bang and you can make it happen. So
so if you're looking for Valentine's Day plans, or even just for you, it don't have to be you and a partner, because you
Singles
know I'm pulling up
day,
by myself.
Yep.
Bring your friends, your girls, your boys, your peoples. We'll
absolutely
be there, and we're looking forward to sharing that night with you guys.
There's general admission tickets available. There are VIP Gold Circle seating tickets,
ooh,
available. And there's also a VIP meet and greet ticket available. So holla at Sony Hall. Again, at SonyHall.com. Search The Friend Zone. You'll find the event page there. And we would love to see you, because we love to see it.
Yes.
Thank you.
I love it. So that's it for the announcements. Anything else before we get out of here?
No, that's
before
it.
We get out of here?
It's over. No, I'm kidding.
I'm going to say, well, I like that. I'm going to buy y'all. Shit.
Are you doing QTNAs today?
No. We open with a freestyle.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Switching up. It's a wrap up. You know, last episode of the year. We want to do something fresh.
I feel
come on
that.
Now, okay?
So then let me jump into this week's Black Business.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, how beautiful is my friend Imani?
Gorgeous. Wow.
Is that not one of the most beautiful women?
Yes.
Look at her.
Ooh. Yes.
Imani. What's wrong?
Is this what the business is?
Her wallet?
Yes.
Actually, that's her sister's wallet that she makes. So
like,
we could do
a
like a double business.
That's what they doing, apparently.
Come on.
But Imani Miller Annabelle, who I have been friends with since college, she held me down so much. She was older when I came in as a freshman.
Yeah.
And, you know, she saw me, this little New Yorker, pulling up to Ohio. She was like, come here, kid.
Yeah, right,
I'll show you how to survive in this, you know, woods.
Yeah.
So she really held me down. I've loved her ever since. You never forget the people that just, like, hold you down when they don't have to.
Yes, Lord.
You know what I mean?
Lord.
You never forget those people, and I've just always viewed her in that light. So I saw on her Instagram that she makes the look at these African print Christmas stockings.
I love it.
Isn't that the coolest? Look.
Oh.
Isn't that awesome? Look at all the prints.
What
these
a great
are
idea.
Wax
those
prints from Ghana. Tell me that's not bomb.
Those are all bomb.
And they're huge too. Like, look how big.
Yeah.
So you can actually put things in them. Whether you place them on your mantle, your
love
tree,
them,
or just around
stocking,
your house, an actual stocking.
It's bomb.
So I was like, girl, I have to make you the Black Business of the Week on Friend Zone. She was like, girl, what?
Especially for the holidays.
It's
I
handmade.
Love it. It's perfect timing.
Perfect
year.
Timing. It's handmade straight out of Brooklyn, which, you know,
hey,
I can low key claim now. Each one is $50. These are beautiful, authentic wax prints from Ghana. And you're celebrating and supporting a beautiful Black woman.
Yes, God.
You know who her kids are?
Who?
Remember those kids I posted with the Beyonce costume?
Yes, those are her kids.
Those are her kids.
No wonder. No wonder. Beautiful
and
children.
And she designed those costumes. Like, she made them from scratch.
She's so creative.
That's what she does for a living. She just designs. She designs jewelry, watches, You name it. She's just one of those people that if she sees it, she can make it and design it and create it. So she's always just been really artistic.
Love it.
And amazing with the execution. Because it's one thing to be artistic. It's another thing to actually make things.
To get up off your ass and do it.
Exactly. And then the picture you were referring to with Sante, this is actually her little sister. Her name is Isoke Miller.
Okay.
And she makes these beautiful leather wallets.
That's gorgeous.
And they're beautiful. So they're just two talented sisters.
It runs in the blood.
So if you want to get one of the African print Christmas stockings, you can go to Instagram, and her Instagram is Imani Miller 1. That's IMANIMILLER1. DM her. Tell her to send you, you know, she'll send you a picture of the fabrics to choose from. Obviously, you exchange information as far as where you live. I'm co-signing. This is like my literal sister. You can absolutely trust her. No funny business. She gonna get it done. You know, exchanging sensitive information, whatever the case may be. Yeah. This is someone that is like my whole heart. And then her sister, in case you're looking for the leather wallets, which I think would actually be really dope for Christmas. Okay. You can go, right? That'd be a nice gift.
And a stocking stuffer. Okay.
Oh, hey, look at that. So her sister is Isoke Miller Designs. So that's Isoke Miller Designs. Isoke Miller Designs. So the first one is Imani Miller 1. The second, Isoke Miller Designs. Support two beautiful sisters. I know a lot of y'all are probably last minute scrambling for your Christmas decorations and gifts, like most of us probably are. But we got you. Support my sisters. Love and that's it for this week's Black Business.
And hurry up, because Christmas coming up soon.
I can't believe it. It's next week. Mm-hmm. Do you have plans?
Yeah, I'm going to go to Michigan and kick it with my family.
How sweet.
Yeah, I got my eye on a couple really cute gifts for them. Mm, so
that's the best.
You know I like giving good gifts.
Of course, there's no better feeling, especially like my mom just moved, so I'm getting her... well, I'm not going to say it because I know she listens to the show, but it's going to be stuff that she needs for the apartment. You know, like I'm
hi,
a practical.
Mama, we love you around here.
I'm more of a practical gift giver. Mm-hmm. You know, like I like giving people stuff that they actually really need, even though fun stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I'm getting my my best friend's daughter her first Barbie dream house. I'm excited about.
Oh, friend.
Isn't that the best?
Yes.
Like,
that is
I
amazing.
Cannot wait.
That is beautiful.
You know, she.
Can
since
I
we
go
left,
dream house shopping with you?
Please, let's go. You know, because she's only 3, so she doesn't understand the concept that I left San Francisco and I'm in New York now. So my best friend says she was coming down the stairs and saw the little girl at the door holding the curtain, like looking through to the street. And she was like, what are you looking at? She's like, waiting for, she calls me Titi Friend because she can't say Fran.
Friend. Oh, my God.
She goes, where's Titi Friend? What time is she coming home? And I wanted to cry because I was like, she probably going to think I'm not coming back because I don't know when I'm going back to San Francisco.
T. She went to the store and never came back.
I don't want to create PTSD. Right. She looking
you
out the window.
You your godchild. How could you do it?
She sent me a video and you see her looking through the window and then you hear her go, we'll be happy when she comes back.
Oh, you might have to go back to San Francisco for Christmas.
New Year's.
Right, or New Year's, yep. You might have to, Fran.
These kids, man, they're wearing
maybe
me down.
Maybe she just made your plans.
You know you need your Sky Miles points anyway,
you know
girl.
What? We do need to do a Sky Miles trip. Look,
y'all can have apple juice on at midnight, Fran.
Oh, stop. Don't do this. Dustin.
You can get her a little sequin dress, Fran.
Stop it.
That would be, and like little, like the little
hair
piece, like the one that Jocelyn Hernandez be putting on her baby all year long. She wearing that 2019 hair piece. It was like Memorial Day weekend or something like that. And I was like, just because her outfit is black and gold, don't mean that was the right headband. Like that's obviously for the holiday.
How did we get here?
I couldn't believe it. But that black God bless her beautiful baby.
Last
and your
week.
God baby.
So on last week's episode.
So are you ready for the recap segment? Yeah. Thanks, Asante.
Okay, trying to drive it for you.
So on last week's episode, we reviewed 2009 through 2019. We discussed our favorite songs, shows, movies, viral moments, apps, people, and so much more. Mm-hmm. And LA-based recording artist Quinn stopped by during the Music Man segment. Woo! To talk all things life. Woo! And fantasy. So,
wow.
What a great episode that was.
What an amazing treat.
Shout out to Quinn.
Wow. She changed me.
Such a gem.
Did she?
She changed me.
Oh, my God.
Such a gem.
Isn't she just everything?
She's
everything.
Amazing. I love her.
Like, I, like, love her. Like, you saw, we had just met that day, and we were already like, I love you.
Same. Like,
yeah,
like, for real.
And like, yep. Meant it.
That's my girl. Like, on.
I love when you feel that way about people.
For real.
Like, and furthermore, what I can absolutely say is that her art is authentic, 100%. That shit lives and breathes inside of her, and that's how it manifests itself. That's one person I can say that is genuine and authentic art.
1,000%.
And again, the theme of this episode seems to be love to see it.
Is that the title?
Love to see it. I'm trying to tell you.
So, Asante, who stood out to you? Because you know, Friendzone listeners have a lot to say.
Well, friend, I actually would like to turn around and see who stood out to you first, because I'm dipping in the SoundCloud streets.
Okay.
And a few people made points that I want to touch on. So I want to see where you went first.
So I picked Josie, who said, loved this episode for sure. Gotta agree with Fran that Twitter truly popped off in 2009, and have to add that it changed my life as well. Twitter introduced me to so much, including my husband. And meeting Oprah. Some of my best connections and relationships, happen thanks to Twitter. Life changing for sure. Wow, her husband and Oprah. Wow.
Shout out to Josie.
Shout
now you and your husband
Josie.
Can get to work on the Pussycats.
Wow.
Oh my God. Dustin
Josie and the Pussycats.
Josie and the Pussycats.
Shout out to Josie.
You are just Asante.
Okay, super random side moment. Cartoon Network had a contest where there was a call-in, and if you could say the words to Josie and the Pussycats, you would win tickets to go see that movie that came out there.
You did it and you won?
No, I did not.
Oh.
But I tried to call in so many times, but the line was always busy.
You know the words?
I really didn't know the words past that one little part. It's like, Meet Sweet, Groovy Stone, You're Invited, Come Along. That's what it was. But it was so fast. It was like, Meet Sweet, Groovy Stone, You're Invited, Come Along.
That's why I love y'all.
All right, so yes.
Josie and the Pussycats.
Josie and the Pussycats. Shout out to Gary Benjamin Holt Jr.
Bank name having ass motherfucking nigga is
it? I love Gary.
What's his name? Yes, Gary Benjamin Holt Jr. Gary Bennett.
That's a name, okay?
Yeah, it sounds like
he sounds like he plays bass in a band.
An apartment building they call the Arms, the Gary Benjamin Holt Jr. Arms. That's the name of an apartment building.
Gary come in it several times.
Yo, you be mad specific.
Am I lying, friend? Gary Holt, American Clock, Electric Junior, Holt Junior Arms. That's the bit.
I know he's sick right now.
We love you, Gary.
We love you, Gary. Super random. He said, because he commented a few times, but he said, Pose, my favorite show since Buffy. I just thought Buffy was a very funny mention, but I love Pose and I love Buffy. So super random, he loved both of those. But Gary also says, Get Out was the most impactful moment for me. I never thought I'd see a horror movie nominated for one Oscar, let alone three. It should have won every award it was nominated for, but I felt proud it took home an Oscar. I thought that was so dope because Get Out was so dope. Like,
I forget that it won an
Oscar. I saw it so many times, and I forgot like what a moment that really was, because you know there have been several moments in cinema over the past decade for Black people, and I'm so happy that that's happened. But Get Out was actually one that I can say I watched over and over and over again outside of Black Panther. Like, we have movies that not only impacted us, but we revisited so many times.
Like Harlem Nights.
Like Harlem?
Ooh, I need to rewatch that. It's been a long time.
It's gonna make you miss. No, I'm just playing. But yeah, that's what I found in the SoundCloud streets. Dustin Ross, what did you find over there in them Twitter streets?
Hey everybody. How funky is your chicken? How funky is your chicken? How loose is your goose? Now come on everybody and shake your caboose. With that being said, I want to give a shout out to Deadline, who tweeted that the game is returning to the CW. Oh, everybody wow. remembers the game. Yeah,
what?
Exactly.
Okay, Wendy Raquel Robinson yep. back.
It's
original cast.
More Ooh. On that in a second. But according to the Deadline, they said Ooh. That the game hour long reboot is in the works at the CW from creator Mara Brock-Akil and Devin Gregory. It's funny that you mentioned that because they accompanied the article with a picture from the old cast. And of course, everybody was in it, so I got excited. Like, oh, they all coming back.
Yes.
But they said that this one is going to take place in a new East Coast setting. And they said the idea is for some of the original cast members to come back for what would be the game's second revival. And that the game family was coasting to retirement, but they heard the call of the fans to make a comeback. And they decided to pick up and move from a half-hour sitcom in San Diego to a one-hour dramedy set in Baltimore. And, yeah.
Wow, okay.
This time, they're determined to help a bunch of knucklehead new schoolers navigate the ruthless game of football on and off the field. They will clash through the pitfalls of fame, fortune, and love. So the game is coming back. Let's hope.
I'm interested.
Are you excited?
I'm interested.
Three people better come back.
Who?
Pooch Hall.
Yeah.
Tia Mowry Hardrick, or whatever her last name is. And Wendy Raquel Robinson.
Yes.
You think Pooch will come back, though? Didn't he get in trouble recently?
What did he do?
He was like... I hope I'm not making this
no,
up.
No, you're not, because Pooch did get into some trouble. I just can't remember what it was.
Pooch ain't do nothing related to no Cooch.
No.
I don't know.
I remember correctly, Asante, please check.
I'm about to get on it now.
He was driving drunk with his kid in the car.
Oh, yeah. That's not funny.
No, he didn't.
Stop. Help me, Lord. Oh, Lord. What was funny was because wasn't the son driving, the two-year-old?
What?
Wasn't the baby driving?
The
now I'm starting to remember.
Driving.
Yeah, the baby. Remember, wasn't the baby driving the car? And not the one from North Carolina. Not the one that looking for someone with some bop in it. The baby. Am I making this up? Ain't this what happened to Asante?
I don't know how the two-year-old was
driving. Please
move
your thumbs. You need to be team typing fast.
You are taking me out right
now. You
got to
Google it. The baby almost took us all out if that baby was driving that car. I'm trying to tell you. I think Fran.
I feel like you're telling the truth, though. That's what's
taking
me out.
Yeah, I'm remembering this.
But how,
so about the kid
was it
driving.
Sitting on his lap and driving?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he reached it. So the story in March.
Oh, my God.
The story in March is where he reached a plea deal. But this is from people.com, and it says, Pooch
Hall
reaches
they
plea deal
tell the
after
truth.
Driving under the influence with son in his lap.
With his son in his lap.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So
now everybody, daddy let them drive on their lap.
Now
he pleaded 45 to He's 45, and he pleaded no contest to
Pooch
win this
Hall
demand.
Is 45?
That's wow. what they said.
He looks great.
Mm-hmm. Ain't that crazy?
Wow. Well.
Black don't crack. Except for on the Astronomy Club
then,
on Netflix.
So
that was funny. Did you see that sketch?
I haven't watched
Have y'all
it yet.
Watched the Astronomy Club
it
on
I
Netflix?
I have not. Is it good?
Shout out to Keisha. She was my showrunner on The Read on Fuse. And she has a brand new sketch comedy series on Netflix that premiered December 6th. It's produced by Kenya Barris from Blackish,
yes.
fam, not Blackest. That's Nene Leakes. But yeah, he produces it. It's called The Astronomy Club on Netflix. It's a really funny sketch comedy series. Watch it.
Dope. Speaking of shows to check out, Asante was telling me to check out Watchmen.
Oh, shit.
Now, and the season finale just came on,
and
too.
And I wasn't sure I should watch because I'm not super familiar with like DC Comics and Marvel and all that. So I always feel like if you jump on the wave of that, you're going to be behind and not understand anything. And granted, I'm sure there's a lot that I don't fully know.
Right, right.
But as a standalone show,
you were able to keep up.
It was incredible.
Yes.
The conversations about everything happening at the same time, like dimensions and time and space. You know, I was like,
you making me want to watch.
You definitely should watch just because of the acting, the way, like Regina.
Oh, as a writer, you will be on cloud 10.
Honestly,
it is
like so
such
many different,
a great show.
So many, like even the time because they're in Oklahoma and the things that happen with the history of the black people in that city and stuff
is
like
Crystal
that.
Crystal in it.
That would have been
and you know
amazing.
What's funny?
They
I thought about
put
her.
Crystal in
they
honestly,
should have
she should have had a little role in there.
Regina King.
Amazing. Yaya Abdul-Mateen.
Amazing.
Like
everyone, though.
Everybody
the
is.
Entire
everybody
cast.
Is. Yeah, they were casted very, very well because the guy that plays like Mirror Face. Or,
yes, Looking
or
Glass.
Face,
what is
glass
it?
Face.
Looking Glass?
I guess. I don't know.
I think.
There
well,
were certain characters I was like, I don't really care. Like that one nigga, Lube Man. I don't know if you noticed him. When he
the,
like
slid into the...
yes, that shit fucked me up. I was like, what the
Who
fuck?
Who was that,
happened?
Lube Man?
Lube Man.
Regina King is our, what's her name? Meryl Streep.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Some people think it's Viola Davis, but I'm going to give it to Regina. I'm going to give it to Brenda. Brenda Jenkins. Regina King.
Because she been.
Yep. Been.
I mean, the thing about the show that was so powerful, first of all, I haven't had the desire to binge a show like that in
Since a long time.
Matters.
Like,
are you...
I told you in that first scene.
I'll watch one or two episodes of something and then forget about it. Mm-hmm. Just because it's been a long time since something pulled me in. But
when I sat
and watched it, I couldn't stop. Yep. To the point where I had to be like, friend, you have to go to sleep.
You cannot stay up and
watch 8 hours of television.
When
just
I was in
LA
a couple weeks ago, they had these humongous like billboards like on the Beverly Center everywhere of the show, and Regina King is in all of the posters.
Yes.
She's in the center like money. I was cracking up because it looked like a, you know, like it was set up like a piece of money because
right.
She was in the middle in like a little oval.
Yeah,
I'm being ridiculous.
No, but you're not. I love that the leads were black.
Yes. And you gotta watch
because
in that first scene after the shit go down, I told you they play Future and then the shit happened.
Yeah, that was like, I was like, oh my God, okay.
His music, it just fits every
timeless,
mood.
Huh?
I'm telling you.
But what I will say finally to wrap it up on this, because we could do a whole show on it.
We really could.
It made me feel so seen because there's so many topics that I discuss that I like read or think about.
Yes.
And I discuss off the show because it's a little bit too woo-woo or too edgy or too like the metaphysical conversations that I have with my friends and you guys. And it's so nice to see a show cover that.
Yeah.
You know, and in such a beautiful, profoundly written way that just makes me feel so seen. Like, I'm like, yes, this is what I believe in. How nice to see a show break it down in a way that makes it palatable for the rest of us.
Friend, last week, this is exactly why last week I said I should knock your head off. Because honestly, I'm a sci-fi fan. But I think because of doing this show with you, I am able to have a better scope and understanding on a lot of what happened on the show because of doing this with you.
Because of our combos.
And that's why instantly I was like, oh, hell no. Nah. Like, friend, y'all, you got to watch this.
Man.
And I know, like, when it first comes out, you know, it's all like the comic books and the geek people that's like, all right, we, you know, this is our shit.
Yeah.
So it's like, I ain't trying to jump on your boat then. But then you realize that certain things, it's like, even though, like, the beauty of that story is it's supposed to grab you no matter where you are or what you're doing. It doesn't matter if you're a fan of comics or not.
Yeah.
And I think that Watchmen was so beautifully done on HBO. Like, that's why it's so dope standalone and for so many other reasons.
Ugh.
So.
And the creator said they might not even do a second season, and I think that's fine. It's just such a great show as is.
You
but
just needed that one moment.
I mean, some shows, it's important to know when to leave them alone. It's almost like a capsule collection.
Yeah.
You know, like it just did the job, and that was it. It was powerful from beginning to end. You never want to lose that. But obviously, he can keep going because the way it ended, I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited. I feel like I'm like part of the DC universe now. I was like, okay, you know, I know who Mr. Manhattan is. So that's really cool.
Where are you right now?
And you know, we were at my friend's house this weekend. Shout out to Shario.
Shout out to Shario.
And we were playing like, what's that game called?
It's, Spades.
No.
Okay, you know she.
Domino.
Where you write like a word or a sentence in a paper and put it in a bowl and then you have to act it out as a charade.
Like charades.
Charades.
Yeah.
And someone wrote Mr. Manhattan's dick and I was so confused. But now I see.
There is a light that shines.
Now I was like, oh.
Now you know it's called Watchmen.
I mean, because I definitely watched that, man. I will tell you.
I mean.
How could you not?
Yaya did a great job.
He did. He absolutely did.
So, with all that being said. So we finished the recap segment?
Yes.
Yes, we did.
Okay, are you guys ready to jump into this week's episode?
Yes, I am.
I don't have children, but I have a god baby. And now you have to ask yourself sometimes, do I want to set my god baby up for success? I know I do. You know, do I want to save money on private tutoring? You know, is that even in my budget for my god baby? You know, is this a big school year for my god baby? Maybe they start in kindergarten. You know, is my god baby ahead? Is my god baby being challenged enough in class? These are questions that I had to ask myself. And the way I found the answers was through IXL Learning. And IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids that covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, including my god baby, no matter the age or the personality. There's one site for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. Kids can use it at home on the computer or on the go through the app on your phone or your tablet. And my god baby got a tablet. I had to get one for my god baby. No more grading those worksheets. IXL grades everything itself. And no more trying to figure out how to explain math questions and math equations or grammar rules yourself. IXL has built-in explanations videos. And now 1 in 4 students in the United States are learning with IXL. And IXL is used in 95% of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. And one of them school districts, guess who attends it? You heard it. My God, baby. Now, that my God, baby wasn't struggling with nothing. They're very smart. But you can always use more help to round out or supplement what's being taught in school. So make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. And the Friend Zone listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/friendzone. Visit IXL.com/friendzone to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hey, everybody. It's Rob Lowe here. If you haven't heard, I have a podcast that's called Literally with Rob Lowe. And basically, it's conversations I've had that really make you feel like you're pulling up a chair at an intimate dinner between myself and people that I admire, like Aaron Sorkin or Tiffany Haddish, Demi Moore, Chris Pratt, Michael J. Fox. There are new episodes out every Thursday. So subscribe, please, and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
So it's been a great year. 2019. Do you guys know that we have recorded 49 episodes?
Wow.
In 2019. It was like over 100 hours. Think about that.
Wow.
100 hours of content.
They wouldn't have fucked up and lost our shit. But go ahead. If I get mad all over again, this bitch.
But that's beautiful.
It is.
Damn near an episode a week for a year straight.
Commitment, because we love and believe in this show.
1,000%. Yeah. So amen. My question to you guys, when you review the year of 2019, as creators of this show, did you have a moment that stood out to you and was your favorite, whether it was a guest, a quotable, a concept that came up, anything?
For me, what was very pivotal was the introduction of This Is a Story at the beginning of the
yes.
year. I don't want to beat a dead horse.
No, but like, it's important.
It was, because it was something that I had wanted to do for a very long time on the show. I was able to have fun with it, and it really led to some great opportunities for me and people kind of legitimizing me as a writer and understanding that that's something that I can do. So it really helped me out a lot. And I feel like the audience had fun with it. And I'm really looking forward to our Choose Your Own Adventure style 2020 shit that we're about to be on. So that was just one thing that I can say we did on the show that I felt was pivotal.
1,000%. Because when I was looking on SoundCloud, kind of reviewing all the episodes we've done,
mm-hmm.
it was kind of nice to see the episode is titled Since We've Been Gone. And that was the episode back. And we discussed Bird Box, which is funny to remember that.
Oh, wow.
The government shutdown.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And then the intro says, and Dustin introduces a new segment this week.
Yep.
I thought that
wonderful.
Was really cool to see that. Not only did he introduce it, but he kept it up the entire year. And then the doors
mm-hmm.
that opened for you.
I have kicked in the door, wave in the 4-4. You hear me? That's the shit,
you know,
I'm
gotta,
on.
You know, so you got to cool. bring them characters to life at some point, though.
We'll see. Mm. I'm ready to kill them all. 187.
Hey.
Kill, kill, kill. That's murder, true. Murder, murder, murder. Massacre and Juan have some new shit, new people.
Hello.
Murder,
Asante, what about you? What stood out to you this year?
It's very hard for me to choose one, but anytime we have a guest in general, I'm super excited. But the music guest this year, have been phenomenal. Like, I don't know what it is. And that's not to say that any of the past guests haven't, because everybody that's come to our show, I feel like...
This show has, sounds shady like that, though. No, but, I'm totally just playing, completely.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, every guest that we've had, I feel like, has connected and contributed so much to the show any damn way. So the fact that, like, every year we continue to get, like, a new batch of people that, like, support us and they connect with us and they, like, provide to the landscape of what we do. You know, talking to Ari Lennox earlier this year was so dope. Even Quinn last week was so dope. So it's just so dope that, you know, your friends that come on and they have so much to offer us. It's so dope that, like, Miriam, Miriam Haas, Maya coming back.
Maya.
Because, you know, she's always, like, the fourth person of the friend zone anyway. Shannon
coming
on.
Shout out to Shameless Maya. Shout out to Shan Boudreaux.
Yeah, Boudreaux.
Did you see her?
I was just going to say, real quick, we got to give credit where it's due. What a class act. Everybody's familiar of the uproar that Lonnie Love's ass caused on The Real when she was real just wild disrespectful to Shannon when they were speaking about her work. And Shannon could have responded to that in several different ways that may not have been the most positive. But I think the fact that she was willing to come on the show and be civil and cordial with Lonnie, even though she didn't get an apology, she just got a mild acknowledgement.
Right. Oh, really? She didn't apologize on the show? Okay.
No apology. Nope. Just a sort of acknowledgement that something took place. And
we all talk about people on here and... the way I did it, like, it was just real, like, it happened.
Yeah,
and maybe it just wasn't appropriate to y'all. Like, pretty much like that. And I was like, girl. No.
And Lonnie, it's fucked up because I actually really like Lonnie Love, okay? I like a lot of stuff about Lonnie, and she said some of the most funny things I've ever heard in my life. Just like when she was making a point one day on The Real, and she's like, and we doing this for women all across America. In some parts of Canada. That shit was so funny. Like, Lonnie Love is actually funny. And I hate this. I've been following her for so long. Back when she used to contribute to Chelsea Lately. Like, just so many moments. She was a regular contributor to Chelsea Lately.
Oh, my God. Tangent.
Mm-hmm.
Chewy died.
R.I.P. Chewy.
Send him up for Chewy.
Oh, R.I.P. man, Chewy. That broke my heart.
He was unforgettable.
He was so funny.
Hilarious.
Yes.
Like, down to the Kangol hat and everything, like the sweater vest.
Man, rest in peace.
And he was a huge part of why that show was successful.
Of course.
Chewy was integral to Chelsea Lately.
Yes.
So, God rest his soul. Man, Chewy gave a lot to late night
love
television.
To his friends and family.
And to comedy, yes. But anyway, Lonnie, get your shit together because I'm tired of you disappointing me, especially as a Michigan native. I want to support you. And I've let go of the Tamar situation. So I just need you to pull it together. Thank you. And stop fucking with our friend Shannon because she won't get you, but I will.
Honestly.
For real.
And also, I don't know if I got every guest this year, but I definitely want to make sure because we're talking about moments specifically. Mm-hmm. Wendy and Jess, when Food Heaven came on.
God. Oh, my girls.
And we talked about Complete My Plate.
That was an incredible episode. Yeah. I was really proud of the guests that we had this year. Because it's one thing to bring your friends on and have fun, but it's another thing to bring guests that are experts where you can have fun. But also share really, really important information for our community. That's like my favorite combination.
Same.
So I was really proud between Shannon, even Mandy B from Horrible
Mandy
Decisions and Makana X-Man. Is that his name?
Makana Man. Shout out to Makana Man.
He's just going all out with the comics now, huh, friend?
You know, I thought that episode was a bit edgy for us, but I loved it because that's what you're supposed to do as a creative, stretch in all different kinds of directions, literally. So I was very happy. A lot of you were like, whoa.
You learned something that day, didn't you?
Sure did.
What about you, friend?
You know, I was really proud of a lot of the concepts that were brought up and the information that was distributed. Like, remember when we had the convos about intellectual property?
Yes.
Yes.
That was extremely important for us, for our community.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And continues to be.
So many lessons learned about how to use your platforms, how to share your work on these platforms and protect yourself. Things we didn't know, like, obviously, what happened to me, a tweet of mine was put on a sweater with
a massive company.
It doesn't even matter.
Oh, we can't say? Okay, I'm sorry.
We don't need to.
A massive company that was able to take it and sell it because whatever you tweet is not yours. Funny enough, it happened to someone who, remember Lizzo took someone's tweet and put it in her song. Mm-hmm. But Lizzo did the right thing and compensated. Mm-hmm. I even think she added the person as a writer on the song. So she'll have money for a long time.
Amen.
And that to me is the right thing to do. So, you know, it's not always going to work out that way on your behalf. So it's important to understand that. But I think the intellectual property and still like an artist, because we did like back to back episodes, were amazing. Also, my favorite, too, was the attachment theory episode.
Oh, my gosh.
Wasn't that big? I think that was a big
fearful
one.
Avoidant.
Man, so we discussed psychoanalyst John Bowlby's
work. What's that big?
You are just. It's a theory about an attachment behavioral system that guides us in our patterns and habits of forming and maintaining relationships. So the question we discussed was what factors contribute to your experiences of anxiety, fear, avoidance, and or fulfillment when in interpersonal relationships. So that to me was a big one. I also love the episode with Miriam.
Yes.
The cheat codes episode, right?
That was a big one.
That was a big one.
It was good to kind of relive that one during a live show in San Fran too.
Oh man, she killed it.
Yeah.
And I love, because when she first came out, she was like so shook.
Yes.
She was like, this is a lot of energy coming from the audience. But then 5 minutes in, she was straight.
Fell right into her
Right into it. So it was awesome to see. You know, but what? I love all conversations with her, honestly.
Okay, so now for the ridiculous portion. Mm-hmm. Just from my ridiculous point of view.
Yeah.
Get out of her house, where we talked about B. Smith.
Oh, that was Dustin. Was that a wild card episode? I think Dustin brought that up.
Because that shit, I'm still mad.
Like, it was so crazy that something like that happened, but like, it was crazy shit happened. So it's just funny that we were able to talk about that, because even the way that we look at relationships as a whole has changed over the year any damn way.
Right, and so, will continue to change.
So, like, not to, you know, bring up old shit, but now looking back over the year, you know, if you were in a certain position, would you, and you had a lover or something, but, you know, something went down with you, would you allow your lover or new partner to move on and have that ass in the house?
Man.
Because, you know, I feel like there are some people that might be like, well, I would love them so much and blah, 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 they could do whatever. But I feel like we still don't know if that was the case. Like, even though we talked about it back then, like, it just kind of like fell into obscurity. But it was still a good ass episode.
That was a good episode.
Well, the one episode that I know we're tired of talking about, but we have to talk about, two words, Natalia.
Oh,
Grace.
My God. Yeah, that was a big
the
one.
The introduction of the crime zone.
Now,
that was a big one.
Yeah, I think that was my favorite.
I think that this episode, if we were nominating episodes for like awards here, this would absolutely be an award-winning episode. Shout out to Fran, because that was completely her brainchild to even go there conceptually with the episode. And our reactions were very authentic and in the moment. And I think
it's the brilliance of your reaction.
I thank you, because it's so, it just feels good that resonated well with people, because I really was fucked up behind that conversation. Wow. You know,
and it just continues.
And I still, every time I see her, I become enraged all over again. It reminds me of when Madeline Kahn was in the movie Clue, about the board game Clue, and she was describing how she hated Yvette. That was the play the maid.
Oh my God.
She's like, I hated her so much. Flames on the sides of my face, heaving hot flames. That's what she said. And that's the hatred I feel about Natalia Grace. I want to literally punt her. So that episode meant a lot to our listeners, and it meant a lot to me.
They still tweet us to this day about that episode. Yep. That's how I know we did a great job. But honestly, black commentary
on any damn
it's
thing.
On
been
true
a gem.
Crime, especially that. Well, on anything really,
on
but
anything.
On true crime, when I tell you that is a masterpiece combination.
Yeah, because
with your comedic timing.
Listen, and
genius.
It's just about responding appropriately and naturally. That comes from the heart. Y'all got me fucked up.
And then another big one: deep fake software conversation.
I was going to mention that one.
That was a big one because it wasn't hitting the landscape too much yet. Like, you know, we were seeing Lil Michaela, who actually, did you see that? She got in trouble recently on Twitter.
What
do
you mean she got in trouble?
Well,
I'm just saying.
And in trouble. You ever talked about a bitch that's literally unbothered? That she is.
Woo.
She put out like a fake
interview.
Like an interview. Did you see it where she was saying about like being assaulted in an Uber or something like that? And people were like, this isn't cool.
Now you've gone too far.
You've gone too far because now you're taking the plight of something that's very serious and happening and making it into an AI like conversation. Like, it's just too much.
I wonder how that even happened.
Like, especially because low-key, you know, these are white men that are running that Michaela account. And so she's pretending to be this, you know, woman of color going through. It's odd. It's unethical and it's odd.
I've seen all the sci-fi movies. That bitch is going to get hacked. And she's going to start doing crazy shit. And it's going to be all their fault.
On some real shit, that's why I don't even play with, like, Alexa.
I don't either. I refuse to have it in my house.
Like, I would love to work with Google in the future, but I personally don't have an Alexa in my home.
No.
Sorry.
No.
I did not for the longest, but Fat Kid Deals, they got me twice. They got me for...
With the Echo.
Well, they got me for that Fire TV, you know, to start. You know, that's how it all starts. You know, it's got the remote where Alexa's not necessarily listening until you hold down the button. And then I got me an Alexa because I needed them light bulbs.
I mean, I know it's helpful, but I can't.
But you're right. I can't tell you that you're wrong because I be hitting that mute button on it and it blinks. It blinks red to show you that it's muted.
It's muted.
And then it blinks another color to show you that it's muted. Alive. But that thing always listening. I know that thing always listening. I be unplugging it and I know that thing's still listening probably because that thing is so big and be charged.
I might be from an area that's nearby Windsor, Ontario, Canada, but this ain't Tamia over here and it ain't finna be no stranger in my damn house.
Even though low key, when you really think about it, our phones already do it.
Exactly.
So it ain't no room.
I ain't got room. Ain't no more room. You know what I'm saying? I'm at capacity. Now, is it my turn? Offer another point?
Please offer it.
Okay, shout out to PM Dawn. And anyway, the 4-year anniversary show here in New York City.
Oh, man. You're talking about a family affair, right?
It was an amazing show. And there were, after listening to it, because we've never really been fond of the idea of sharing the audio from our live experiences.
Yeah, it just seemed boring.
It just seemed kind of, you know, Children of the Corn is a little corny. So, but this time,
reason to come out.
There were so many specific little nuances and things that were happening that were unscripted, that were not a part of our official format or program for the day. And it was just things that are unforgettable, like some of the commentary between Mouse and myself while we were, you know, on the stage and some of the jokes. There was a friend of mine, Taiki Bond, who has a really dope app called What's the Move NYC. Y'all can check out.
Please download it too. He's close to like 10,000
downloads. He's doing his damn thing, but he was sitting front row at that show. And so him, Mouse, and myself were cracking jokes amongst each other.
The faces alone were a show.
It was just, there were so many little things you can hear in the background of that audio specifically. So I'm proud of that moment that we got to share that with more people than just those who were fortunate enough to, or we, I should say, were fortunate enough to have in the room with us. So
that was a good one.
That was a good one.
I love the fluorescent blue sky episode. Y'all remember that one?
What was that one about?
We discussed the Con Edison explosion and we thought
Yes.
We thought it was an alien invasion and I was the only one excited about it.
Yeah, because I still am not excited.
But I remember your video. You were like, what is going on?
And Crystal asked, talking about some, do I get my spider powers now? Because we just got finished watching End of the Spider-Verse. Wow.
That was a relief. I think we just played more this year.
Yeah.
Like, even though we had such important episodes, like the intellectual property, like the food one with Food Heaven, even the one with Mandy and Makana, I still think we had more fun.
Yeah.
We integrated more playful episodes, which I think was important because like, mental health isn't just the work, but it's also the laughter. You know, that's part of it.
Like Curry Conversation.
Curry Conversation.
Or Aisha Curry. And it's so funny how Red Table Talk has continued to like grow and be like a staple in the community. It's always good to just see black content, you know, coming up, moving up. And, you know, they're Emmy Award winning.
Are they?
Was it an Emmy they won?
Oh, they won something.
Were they nominated for an Emmy? Let me see, because that's really powerful for Facebook. I felt like it was something,
and I was like, "Damn, y'all got this for Facebook." But yeah, you know, for Red Table Talk to be doing their thing, it was actually really funny listening back to that. And we were talking about Aisha Curry just to hear where it's gone now after the, like the Jordan Woods thing, which you talked about too.
Right.
So shout out to Red Table Talks. Yeah. It would be dope actually to see that integrated, like on a live set, like if they did like a TV show with like a live audience or something and like talk to regular people. So
It's interesting to see how much bigger it's going to get.
They won a NAACP Image Award for Outstanding Host in a Talk Show or News Information Series. They were nominated for a Daytime Emmy Award, but they did not win.
Damn.
They were also nominated for a People's Choice Award and a Streamy Award.
That's very inspiring. Wow, yes. Beautiful.
They ain't playing Gammy either, because that grandma would be saying whatever the fuck she wants to say on that show to whomever she wants to say it to.
Okay.
Did you guys see the follow-up with Jordan Woods where she did the lie detector test recently?
No.
Jordan Woods, they showed footage of what was a two-hour lie detector test. Mind you, they only showed about 15 seconds of the motherfucker. But they asked her basically if she had, you know, fucked on Tristan Thompson or whatever. And she said no, and she passed with flying colors.
Oh, damn.
Wow.
I thought you were going to say something
else. Gammy. Okay, here's where it gets good.
Oh, I'm so glad I can share this with y'all.
Yes. No, she ain't messing around with Tristan. please, don't sleep on Gammy.
He said, but Gammy.
I mean, look, listen
Gammy
now.
Gammy take them teeth out and get gummy. Okay, but anyway.
Oh, no.
Stay woke. Stay woke. But anyway.
No, that's someone's grandma.
So, exactly. So Gammy said.
I saw her on the street and she's stunning.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
I mean, stunning.
She said that. She was like, and people need to know that before they get to saying stuff that's not true, you know, and they get their side. She's like, and don't you, she looked at Jada and she's like, and don't you get to edit none of this out. That's what she told her. Like, she wanted to, basically, she fired shots at you know who.
Mm. Wow. Mm.
The grandmama.
Wow.
The
okay.
Now, I know we mentioned Shannon.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But we didn't discuss that episode.
Yeah, let's go back over
Shannon,
those.
The Game of Desire.
Yes.
Which I loved. We learned that Asante was a unicorn on that episode, which is pretty cool information. in that episode, we discussed what Shannon referred to as the current dating apocalypse. She mentioned emotional intelligence in this day and age. We discussed dating apps, monogamy, non-monogamy, polyamory, and everything in between. And we took that quiz. Remember her Game of Desire quiz that kind of broke down what your desire is like? And mine was, I think it was like free or something like that. I forget what mine was, but it
mine
definitely
was pimp hand strong.
You are just
hard, pimp hand, knuckle strong, poor tough.
That was a good episode. I loved you, Asante, on that episode because I feel like you really opened up in an awesome way. You came alive on that episode. It was really exciting to hear your stories.
Like a little bit of everything. That's all I can say.
What else? What else stood out?
What was the episode where we talked about Lil Nas X?
Oh, the industry episode.
Plants.
That was a good one because it comes up so much online.
Yes. And it can't, because it's funny that conversation is always relevant. And I hate to do this, but I brought this back up because D Smoke, they were trying to say, well, he must be an industry plant.
Right.
Because he won, he's Sir's brother. He won that show, Rhythm. This is what I'm saying. Like, sometimes people just got it and they just talented as fuck.
And that's on life,
and
mama.
And D Smoke, he just got it.
And we want the smoke.
It was amazing because I always watch Rhythm and Flow. I don't know why, it's just one of my favorite pastimes. But,
you revisit it.
I revisit it. I actually randomly, I don't know why, but I just really like how they did the competition format in such a short period of time. Brought talented people, and that's why I can say he honestly won because he deserved it, because he was up there with really talented people. But like London B, she was one of my favorite people. But
yeah, but that
she
hair
kept,
was a fool.
But and outside of the hair, she just kept fucking up, and I love her to death. But you know, like she was forgetting the words on the stage with Teyana Taylor, like it was just like little shit like that. What was the other one? Flawless Real Talk, really dope wordsmith. You know,
why everybody got a Facebook name?
London B, Flawless Real Talk, Troy
Flawless
Man,
Real Talk.
Who was the other one? There was one more, and then it was D Smoke. D damn, I can't believe I forgot.
Well, I saw D Smoke perform live with his brother Sir at the Soul Train Awards, and I was blown away. And to keep it so real with you, I didn't know who he was. But after that performance,
you knew.
I knew who he was. Exactly. So there you go.
Exactly. I think he put up well in the competition. He deserved to win. But dialing back to the industry fakes and plant or industry plants, excuse me, industry fakes, deep plants. Lil Nas X, it's great to have seen him over the year do a lot of shit, just keep growing. Since it's our last episode, it's the wrap up. I hope he does more next year for 2020.
I know. I'm can't excited. Wait. You know I what? Love, he. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Fun, ladies first.
I love how he kicked off the cowboy. Like resurgence in fashion and even in music. I thought
it's
that was
funny you say that, because what I was about to say was that I love how he's kind of patterned his personal style off of that picture of Alicia Keys when she had one of her legs stretched out and the other one back with them like bell bottom mud jeans and that chunky heel.
Already knew.
That chunky heel. Shout out to, there's a YouTuber named Alexander Rogers, right? And he's, shout out to Alexander Rogers. He's actually funny. He, there was a, on the last season of Power, you both watched Power, right?
Yeah.
The last season, well, I can't remember the detective's name whose sister had died or something. The detective, he would call
Angela.
Her, he called her closed mouth chunky. He'd be like, and now there's another appearance from closed mouth. Chunky, because her she always talked through her teeth, and she was like, "Well, we're chunky here, closed mouth, chunky." You know what, Tommy? He would say that, and it was so funny. Chunky. Shout out to Alexander Rogers. Yes,
you know what, Tommy? If you don't tell me where it is right now, yes. So shout out to Lil Nas X.
So, yes. Also, the episode I wanted to bring up. Trying to pivot. August 29th, we had an episode that was named after a hit from none other than BB Brent Leakes King. Okay, shout out to BB King.
Brent
Leakes. The thrill is gone. We had an episode called Thrill is Gone, where we talked about the times that we have needed and given grace from those that we love and to those that we love.
That was a good one.
I look forward to, it's very easy when you're a person who is absolute in kind of what you will allow to take place in your life, what you won't, and also who is left of what's normal when it comes to like your desires and pursuits and all that. It's very easy to be pigeonholed as a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
When people don't really understand your general flow or placement in life. So I'm so grateful that this show exists and that we've built up the trust that we have with our audience, where we can have conversations like that one and kind of show a different side to our personalities and get to let the integrity step forward, not the meanness. So I'm very happy for that episode. The thrill still gone.
So good.
But I'm happy for that episode.
And you know why I love conversations like that? Because it shows that I'm not saying us as in the host, but just people in general, we're all really just figuring this shit out as we go. And we're going to make mistakes, and you learn from them or not. You make it again or you learn from it. It doesn't really matter. And what I love is from that, I had a friend of mine who, because I mentioned on that episode that an ex and I had reconnected and we're like working on our friendship. And it's actually been really cool. We have not crossed any boundaries since then. And it's been like a genuine friendship. We go to concerts. We hang out. Mm-hmm. It's like super cool. The best parts of our friendship are still, you know, working together.
Yeah.
And I remember I had a friend who was so judgmental about it. And he was just like, I just don't understand why you would do that. He doesn't deserve that or your time. Fast forward to now. He's in a similar situation where an ex of his came back. Yeah, you know, it's the end of the year, so everyone's kind of on that, like, I want to go into the decade clean, like, and they're kind of tying up loose ends. So they reached out, and he hit me about it and was like, yeah, I think I'm going to reconnect. And I was like, oh.
That's what you
But
think.
It was funny.
Well, I made- well, well.
But have instead moment, of doing friend. That, I told you so, it was funny because I was like, let's laugh at how hard we can be on other people about things when in reality, you won't know until you're in that position.
And you can laugh because you ain't got to hear his mouth no more.
Because he definitely looked at me like, yeah. Damn, so, yo, but I thought it was cool he still told me because he could have just been secretly.
A real friend.
A real friend. And I love that so much because it wasn't so much like, yeah, like, you know, I win. It was more so like, dude, we are like, literally fucking figuring this shit out. You know, like, I love that we are in that space to have those honest conversations, and that's what I love so much about
the show.
I know
I'm a whip, a work in progress, okay? I also know that you're right about people showing the fuck back up, because guess who literally texted me since we've been sitting here? The person I was in the car with when the sky turned electric blue.
Are you serious? Wow.
Everybody's coming on back around the mountain.
Listen, people are trying to tie up some loose ends.
Okay, and I love loose ends. That's one of my favorite bands.
Are you going to give chances to loose ends?
Yeah, I'm going to give chance of peace, too. Oh, yeah, I said it's a song. Okay, random offshoot.
Go ahead.
Back in the day when I used to work in Michigan, long story short, I was in an environment where people would sing songs sometimes.
I love that.
And there was this one song where it went, "All we are saying is give peace a chance." And these idiots would flip it and be like, "All we are saying is give chance a peace." I've never forgotten it.
Neither will we.
I'm developing a movie idea. I want to write a movie. So fuck it. I want to write a movie.
Okay. Right? 2020
and
intentions.
I'm developing a movie idea based around that experience, and I can't wait.
Oh, I'm so ready because I can already see it.
I feel like movies are where I'm gonna spend a lot of my time as a writer, because it's like the completion of a story at your will. There's no accountability to like a story arc that'll last a certain amount of seasons or whatever. So I feel like creative, this is so random, it has nothing to do with that.
No, this is 2020
but
intention.
Creatively, like, I feel like you can be more expressive and really tell your story to the fullest extent of your intention with certain points in the story in film. So I'm kind of more attracted to writing like movies. I think I want to write me some movies.
Oh, I'm so ready. Let me take improv so I can get my cameo.
Let's get it okay. on. Cameo. Leading lady.
So speaking of conversations, we came out the gate pretty dope in 2019 because our like second or third episode was titled "Would You Tell Me?" And I don't know if you guys remember
tell
that.
Me.
And the question that was brought up was, how authentic are you throughout your day? Which mm-hmm. I love. We explored how we express exactly how we're feeling within our daily interactions, but why there's certain people that we can't seem to be our true selves around and how we still call them friends. And why is that? So we were kind of tinkering around with that conversation. I thought that was a good one. It brought up a lot of like in the comments, you know, people kind of doing audits, my favorite term.
Yeah.
Of their people around them, you know, why they keep them around. Is it because are you holding on to it being familiar, to it being an old friendship? Like doing an audit and really being vigilant of the way that you expend your energy. So I thought that was a great episode.
Yes.
Very good episode titled "Would You Tell Me?" And like I said, we came out the gate with that. So that was good. I'm excited to see.
Came out the gate on some FloJo shit.
I'm excited to see 2020.
Me too.
Just all the amazing conversations that we're going to put together.
And even that, what a play on words. I'm excited to see 2020.
Hey. Hmm. A new
clear your
decade.
Vision up. It's time, and you can literally feel it.
Right?
I know I can.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Is my voyant Claire? Why can I feel this?
Is my voyant Claire?
Why can I feel this?"
I also want to give a shout out to the episode "Glorification of Busy."
Yes.
Yeah, I was just looking at that.
Yes, hell yes.
Especially
important conversation.
Especially as we're moving into this age and we're talking about it, setting intentions and things. I feel like I've been in this download phase, and I know I'm about to be trying to actually download for real some learning stuff, because I have a lot of things that I want to do in 2020. A lot of things I need to double back and revisit, but I don't want it to seem like I'm trying to be busy, as opposed to it being like me finally coming into some things and setting up things to where I'm just appropriately aligning myself to move where I want to move and how I want to move, not just busy just to be busy.
Right.
So that was a really good episode.
That was it's a conversation. Dustin drinking that water, boy.
I needed that.
It's a conversation that has been so important to me. It's been a big theme for the past couple years of my life. Like, the routes and trajectories that I'm stepping into, are they mine?
Mm-hmm.
Are they how I'm being perceived and me just wanting to be perceived as successful? And even the things, the decisions you make based on needing to be seen as someone who's doing well. I hate that feeling.
Right.
And I love that I have been stepping away from, you know, needing people to validate me in those terms. Like, do I actually like the stuff that I'm doing? Do I just want to be able to be like, hey, you guys, I'm so busy. Right. I have so much going on. I have stepped back from a lot of opportunities because I knew in that moment I would only be taking this for the look. Mm-hmm. I actually have no interest in this mm-hmm. shit. And it's very hard to step back in those moments. And I think it's important to have those conversations like we had in that episode, the glorification of busy, because it makes you really audit and kind of reflect on why you are stepping into the field you're stepping in. What does your day consist of, and how much of it do you actually enjoy? How much of it are you doing just to be viewed as someone who's killing it?
Right.
You know?
I personally hate that shit. Mm-hmm. And I also feel like you can see through it immediately.
Mm-hmm. Right. Busybodies that are.
Immediately. Just somewhere to be somewhere.
Somewhere to be.
Like, it's such a turnoff to me because as I get older and like move forward through life, I'm attracted to just real shit.
Right.
And that thirsty vibe, like just wanting to be seen or be associated with the idea of being something. It just mm-hmm. is such, it lacks integrity and I mm-hmm. hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate for people to be like, what do they do? And then nothing can be said.
Right. Mm,
or somebody that does a bunch of every goddamn thing with no real focus. You know, it just, to me, it's just important to be authentic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Dustin, any other episode?
Yeah,
we'll do one last round.
No problem.
Hey, everybody, it's Rob Lowe here. If you haven't heard, I have a podcast that's called Literally with Rob Lowe. And basically, it's conversations I've had that really make you feel like you're pulling up a chair at an intimate dinner between myself and people that I admire, like Aaron Sorkin or Tiffany Haddish, Demi Moore, Chris Pratt, Michael J. Fox. There are new episodes out every Thursday. So subscribe, please, and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I also want to talk about the episode from January 30th called Peggy Bundy, where we talked about experiences with homophobia. That's what I should call it.
Homophobia. Like
the illusion of liberal cities, the mental health practices that keep us afloat, and how we can all be better allies. Mm. And we never really talked about that on this show in detail as much as we have recently. I'll say last 2 years, we've been much more detailed in our discussions regarding homophobia and also relating our personal experiences. It took me a while to get comfortable. Flat out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I'm glad that we now have such an audience where we can have questions like we had at our Atlanta show where
I
the
was
mother
just
yeah,
gonna bring that up.
Exactly, friend, where a mother stood up in the audience and asked literally for some help in regards to her raising a 13-year-old child who identified as part of the LGBT MCU, SEIU, UAW.
R-E-S-P-C-T.
Yeah, I-N-D-E-P-E-N-D-E-N-T.
M-I-C-K-E-Y.
S-E-X. So, but she asked for help regarding that and for them to trust our opinions and to trust our authenticity and relaying our experiences with them. It's just a great feeling. So I'm thankful and grateful. Thank you to that episode. Hope we didn't sound ridiculous.
I picked one of these random episodes that we did because we did these hot button episodes, which were really funny.
I love it when the button is hot.
Okay. So this one was cucumbers and ice cream.
What was that one about?
I just see in the comments.
You know what that one was about. Them bitches at them pool parties.
Oh, shit. How could I forget, Lord? Oh, my God.
I just would like to shout out. You remember earlier, I don't remember what episode we talked about, like the vacuum cleaners and stuff, and how I said that I feel like those are things on the internet commenting, but this is user number whatever.
Oh, like the bots commenting.
Yeah, but what the hell is this? But the comments said both walk them like a dog and drop it low for Jesus or the jams. And so I just thought it was funny that this year we've talked about so many different musical things and how they went from, you know, Santana's walk them like a dog to drop a love for Jesus, which is too ratchet. But we talked about so many gospel moments too.
So much good music.
So
this
much
year.
Good music
Oof,
that happened.
Man.
But that was it. I love when we do the hot button issues. The hot button episodes.
I'm actually going to end with what you guys, the listeners, felt were the top five episodes.
I love to love analytics.
Love an analytic. Thank you to SoundCloud for this. So, number one, what do you think was the number
one? Natalia Grace, motherfucking ass.
Natalia Grace was the number one.
And I know her motherfucking ass been listening to her. I know she found her way to our show, and you motherfucker. I don't be feeling yourself at the bar stool, swinging your, kicking your little legs. To the, don't be feeling yourself based on
okay,
that.
She's a star. She
having an alcoholic milkshake, just going.
The second listen to episode was "Did She Add Brown Gel?"
Aww.
Which is funny because it was an episode where we we don't pick a topic and we just talk about nothing and everything. I love that y'all found that to be. That's kind of inspiring for us. Yeah. So we don't have to go as hard.
Yeah.
The third most listened to was The Cord, where we did a social media roundup. We talked about Facebook and Instagram's new secret crush feature. We talked about TikTok blowing up and claiming Lil Nas X's fame, Netflix removing the binge option, remember, and even a new important app update for creatives working in social media, which was that Instagram, you could now work on it on the desktop. Remember, it was only mobile.
Yes.
So that was interesting. I guess they liked having that information. I'm sure a lot of creatives probably really appreciated that episode.
Honey, I'll be a vessel.
So this is good info for us because it kind of helps us know what you guys are interested in hearing more of.
Because we want it to feel good to you.
And then the fourth most listened to was Personal Policies. That's a Dustin Ross takeover where he used April and Lil Fizz of Love and Hip Hop fame as our study guide, and we discuss whether or not dating a friend, peer, or associate's ex is out of bounds.
Yeah.
Y'all love that episode, apparently. That was the fourth most listened to.
And shout out to Lunel, who said that, because she was interviewed by Vlad TV about the April Fizz shit. And Lunel said
so
there's
funny.
Two different ways that that could be looked at. There's the real life way and the reality TV way. And she said the real life way, Fizz need his ass whooped and the bitch too. Those are her exact words.
My God.
She said in the reality TV way, well, you know, you can tell what the funny part was her saying.
Wow.
And then the fifth, what do you think was the fifth most listened to?
One of our guests. Probably, let me think who. Has?
Actually, the fifth was the Jan Broberg story.
Oh.
Ooh, I done got hot all
so
over
So the
again.
Fact that the of first course. And the fifth were true crime episodes.
Yeah. Looks like you know
looks
we'll be
like
getting
you know.
Next year.
Yes.
You guys really love the true crime episodes. So those are the top five that the listeners picked top five, which is so interesting. And I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That lets us know, you know, which directions to play around more. Obviously, in the comments on SoundCloud or on Twitter, let us know which moments, episodes, concepts, theories,
moods.
Guests, quotables.
Remember that Monifa album, moments, moods, whatever. Shout out to Monifa.
From the Friend Zone 2019, we're your personal faves. And let us know what you want to hear more of in 2020. Because, you know, that'll help us create content that's more catered to your interests, of course. Our interests, too, but your interests as
Definitely.
Well.
Definitely. And also, I'm really looking forward to creating some new experiences for our listeners next year in 2020, starting with things like our Sony Hall show here in New York on
February 13th. It's
going
to be so different for us.
So different.
Great way to start the year.
Completely different format, completely different experience. And so while we're not going to completely abandon our traditional touring format, we're going to be doing a lot of new stuff next year.
Absolutely.
And so I'm really looking forward to keeping it fresh, you know, and keeping it, you know, crunk.
And more visual content.
Much more visual content.
I think for the past couple of years, I won't say we shied away because we just were so focused on the show itself, but we've are in a more playful space now, I think you can say, and we're like, oh, let's just put out shoots and videos, and it's just a fun time.
The GOAT, Tiffany Pollard, said it best. My ass been on pause, okay?
Okay.
But I'm about to press play in a motherfucking millisecond. We haven't necessarily really played with you guys in a visual format.
Yeah, it wasn't our focus.
Yet. Mm-hmm. And so it's great that now, well, you know, stepping into our fifth year, it is something
crazy.
That we can now explore and kind of really apply when we feel it's most useful. So I'm looking forward to having fun with that. Yeah. Like I said, keeping it crunk.
And for those of you out there that want to connect with us, don't forget that you can always reach us in the emails at thefriendzone@loudspeakersnetwork.com. You can always send us comments, concerns, things that you want to hear us talk about on the show.
Sex party invites.
Sex party invites. If you want to work with us in a professional capacity.
Absolutely. Keywords, work with us.
Yes, we've definitely done campaigns through the emails as well. So if you're looking to connect with us, don't forget you can find us at thefriendzone@loudspeakersnetwork.com.
Shout out to all of the label execs that have shown us so
much
love.
Oh my God.
All of the brands that have showed us so much love. All of the organizations, Spotify, so many people that have showed us a lot of love. And really,
Dr. Joy,
our partners. Dr. Joy.
Yes.
Everybody, shit.
Yeah.
I feel like they're about to turn the wrap up music on us.
And most importantly, the listeners.
Yes.
Who. Buy tickets, come to the meet and greets, rain,
drive out,
or shine,
fly out, bus
drive
out,
buy hotels.
That touches my heart, seriously.
It's something that you just don't ever take for granted.
Yes.
It makes me so happy.
And the way y'all so live in the audience.
Yeah.
I love all the inside jokes from over the years. Y'all yell it to us.
Right. Mm-hmm. And shout out to y'all that do just come up on stage and don't ever want to take a picture and y'all just have a little conversation and leave. Like, low-key, I'd be feeling like, well, where's my picture? Like, I'd be upset. Like, we got to. But it'd be so cool to just share a moment and kick it with y'all. So thank y'all for that as
and
well.
And the thing I find most special about that, because I have noticed a few people that have done it.
Yeah.
I think it's so dope because so much of our lives is documented one way or another,
right.
And while it's great that we get to capture special shit, it's something to be said. I know y'all know I love this magic moment. I love a magic moment,
and
there's
present.
Something to be said about being completely immersed in something that's gonna be a memory, and you just remember how it felt. So I like that shit
for sure. And the gifts, oh my God, there's y'all are just so sweet. I literally had to go home with an extra duffel from Atlanta. Right, I came home with a leather journal.
That journal
was incredible.
It smells so good.
Yo, like straight leather.
Yes.
A singing bowl.
Stones.
All these wool socks. I love that y'all know me so well. Wool socks with my Birkenstocks.
Somebody gave me a little thing to, they gave me a tool that I can push things down in with.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So cool. Tease.
Shout out to Spook. Her ass.
She gave us stickers.
Shout out to Heather. Always showing up with the art and the photos.
Heather, who always paints these massive canvases. I don't even know how she travels with that.
She has a secret museum of us that she's creating.
Right?
I'm convinced because she has so much of that.
Such a gifted artist.
So dope. Yeah.
Just so much to be thankful for your support.
And to the people that work with us too, shout out to Michelle,
amazing
role manager who gave us like everything she can. I love Michelle so much, and she's literally a part of the experience. People look for her. Shout out to everybody. Alex.
And all of our friends who travel with us just for the fun of it.
Shout out to Crystal popping up across the country just to come fuck with us.
In San Francisco and Atlanta. Yeah. And then, of course, it was so fun traveling with Jade and Kia.
Yes.
Shout out to them. What an amazing year.
What a great year, right? To
personally,
review it.
All three of us, and then professionally, together, I think amazing things happened, and it's a great way to step into 2020 with an eager anticipation of so many more great things.
Amen.
And it just feels good. Yeah.
Now, I want to end with one question.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Give us one word for what 2020 will feel like for you.
Giving.
Rich.
And I mean that in the rolling ray. I mean it in the rolling ray way. Like, it's giving, you know, like that's what 2020
is. Why was Friend returning into Rolling Ray in Atlanta?
Yeah. Oh my God.
He is so funny.
Is it very much giving?
Yeah.
No, I was talking about money and I said something dollars.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's what she was saying.
And I was like, oh my God, am I Rolling Ray?
What did he say about the Popeyes? He was like, the fuck? Bye. It's nasty ass Popeyes chicken sound. It's like, I'm gonna eat it though. Rolling Ray is naturally funny, so shout out to Rolling Ray. But yeah, and just the greatness, all our great friends who tweet about the show and who contribute to the show, our personal friends who show up, everybody, just this is such a great experience for me. It's been literally life changing.
I mean, life altering.
And
Miss Toler.
Yeah. Miss, my apologies, Miss Girl. Miss Girl. I remember that.
Miss Girl.
Just shout out to everybody. Shout out to my nigga Miles Jones. Shout out to just everybody. Like, just, it's just a great thing to be a part of, and I'm so grateful.
Oh, yay. Yes. Mushy, mushy. Yes. Mm-hmm. You were going to say something?
My word is definitely going to be rich. I don't mean
I
in
love
the,
that that's your word.
I don't mean in the monetary sense, but, you know, that won't that definitely won't hurt. But I feel like the life is full. Like, I have a full life, and I just want to be able to feel that. Like, on a silly note, Crystal used to make these brownies back in the day, the cheesecake brownies, and
I wish she would get off her ass and make some more.
I wish she would make some more, Crystal.
The first time she made them, like, sent them to us, I remember I went to Kia's house where she still lived here, and she took a bite and she like danced around a circle and put it in the fridge. She said, "Now that's rich." And from that moment, the way that she experienced rich, like the way I experienced decadent, like I was like, I want my life to feel rich like that. Like, all of these moments that happen are so cool, but they happen so fast. But I want to be able to like just really immerse myself in everyone every time it happens. So I want to be more present next year. So that's what I hope for 2020. Rich.
My word is flow. I just want, I think I'd slow down a lot this year because I had to do a lot of reflecting. I could feel my life moving very quickly. So I felt like I had to really kind of press pause to make sure that this trajectory I was stepping into was the one I wanted, like the glorification of busy episode. I would just think it's always important to make sure I'm doing what I want to do and not what's expected. So that was a big theme for me this year, but I feel like I have a way better understanding of what needs to be balanced, like what kind of work I want to do, how much of it I should be doing, you know, because I enjoy resting. I enjoy hanging out with my friends. And I've said it before, my life is not about work. I live and have a beautiful fun, and then work is just something that I do. And that distinction was important for me this year because I think it's easy to think that you are work and then you sprinkle in time with your friends and self-care here and there. And I'm like, no, that had to be flipped for me because I can be a workhorse. And I just don't want to be that anymore. That's a program I've had to step out of. Because this year I traveled to see my babies in San Francisco. And, you know, I made time for rest and hanging out and traveling for fun as opposed to just for campaigns. And it brought such a beautiful balance to my creativity. I think this was one of my most creative years. Mm-hmm. And obviously there's a correlation there. Mm-hmm. I made time for things to flow. There was nothing forced, nothing heavy-handed. And so more flow. More love, more living, more hanging out with friends, more creating, more fun, and just flowing and doing what I want
to
do.
When you told us you wanted to slow down at the, and this ain't too much of our business being told.
No, go ahead,
but when
you
told us that you wanted to slow down at the beginning of the year, I didn't think twice about it.
And I appreciated that,
fuck
honestly.
Fuck that, though, because the only way that this can work, right, the three of us working together, is if we, A, respect the show, and B, respect moments like that. Because in order for, we speak from an experience-based point of view so much on this show that it's important to be all right. And when you said you needed to slow down, we just built our lives around that.
Yeah.
And that's just what the fuck it was. And I'm appreciative of that, of moments like that, because I feel like that's the only way that this will work.
Right.
And I feel like when you do things like that, it's just indicative of your commitment to making this work. So I was, look.
And I was, honestly, I was thankful that I was like, I need to slow down, guys. Like, I feel like I'm moving faster than my mind is, like, wanting to move. And I was thankful that you guys were like, well, then we're going to not tour. And we literally didn't tour for, like, I'd say 75% of the year, which anyone else would have been like, girl, come on, get it together. But y'all really were so supportive. You're like, when you're ready, we're ready. And I'm blessed to be able to work with you guys. And I wish that everyone was able to be in an environment like that, because it makes such a difference. Because now when I was finally back in a headspace where I felt like I could move and travel and go again, we did it, and we knocked out the shows. We had incredible live shows. Mm-hmm. I actually think these were our strongest live shows in a long time. Mm-hmm. And that speaks to the importance of knowing your body and your mind and your mental health, and knowing that it's okay to stop if you don't feel good. I wish more people took that time to themselves and didn't fear that, like, their career is going to be over, you know?
I did a great job in San Francisco, and I was so high. And it was really good. Because you kept saying, you're so hot right now. And I just remember thinking, like, I am doing really good.
It even was though great. She says I'm so hot right now. No, I was really proud of us. I think all of us stepped it up.
Yeah.
And considering, you know, end of year burnout, but we stepped it up. We killed the tour. And I'm actually really excited about tour for next year.
I am too. Next year, I'm looking forward to more campaign opportunities for us as the Friend Zone, as well, of course, personally. Mm-hmm. But and then also, I want to see the Friend Zone do more international shit next year.
Yeah.
I'm looking for more international opportunities.
Let's go back to London.
Yes. Let's go to Amsterdam. Places. Like, let's figure that part out. So, yeah, looking forward to those emails at thefriendzone@loudspeakersnetwork.com.
Yep.
Anything else? Last words?
Just put the sub in the subject line. Just put campaigns, opportunities, stuff like that.
And stream stacked by Cash Doll.
Okay. Heard you bitches looking for us. Here we go.
Yes.
So don't forget Sony Hall Thursday, February 13th. You can get your tickets at sonyhall.com, right?
Doors at 7 p.m.
Doors at 7 p.m. It's going to be a fun show, cabaret style, which will be different for us. Very exciting. The night before Valentine's Day. And in honor of what we were just discussing, of knowing when to pause and knowing when to take time off, we are going to be on break.
That's right.
This is our last episode of 2019 because it is important that we take time off because we've done 49 episodes and 100 hours of content. Now we get to recalibrate, be re-inspired, spend time with our friends, experience things, and have more content for you in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
More amazing content for you in 2020. So we will be back on Wednesday, January 15th with a brand new episode and the start to our new decade of content.
Absolutely. Amen. In the meantime, you can keep up with all three of us on our personal social media accounts.
Yes.
I'm at Look at Dustin at all things available for me to be that at. Fran is at Hey Fran Hey, again at all platforms.
All platforms.
And Asante is at Hey Asante, all platforms. Holla at us, you know what I'm saying? That's where we'll be, and you can keep up with our goings-on.
Goings-on.
During the holidays, I wish everybody a Merry Christmas, and in the words of Sounds of Blackness, a soul holiday.
And Happy New Year.
Yes.
My favorite holiday of the year.
Me too. It's just so refreshing, right?
It really is a great energy, and this year I'm not working. Normally I work on New Year's Eve.
Mm.
I'll host a party or something like that. I'm not. I'm spending it with close friends.
Oh, I love that.
Year,
you know,
so
I love
really
that.
I love that and them. So I'm excited this year.
Yay.
To do that and just really have a great time on my favorite holiday. Having trouble finding my outfit, but I'll be all right with God's
help. It will
help.
Find you. It will find you. I might be in Nashville.
Nashville, Cashville.
I'm still figuring out if that's what I'm going to do, but it is a possibility I'll be
Speaking
in Nashville.
Speaking of Nashville, there's no way that I can close this episode out of the year without literally giving specific mention to our dear friends, Claude and Chuck.
Oh, yes. Man,
of
my
Lewis
bouquets.
York. Like, being this year, they gave us so much every
so
year.
So much.
Yes.
But this year, they performed recently at our Atlanta Live show. Beautiful, incredible performance. And the fact that we have access to such a premium caliber of artists.
Man, who will come to Atlanta
that
to
would
perform.
We're such low-hanging fruit when it comes to the connections that they have worked so hard and made. So just eternally grateful for their connection to us. Thank you for sharing your friends with us.
Of course.
I love Claude and Chuck.
Oh, that makes me happy.
And I love their work. Lewis York has created some of the dopest audible art that I've ever heard in my life.
Period.
And again, I'm just really grateful to be associated with literal legends.
Mm-hmm.
I want to work in music next year.
Yes, come
and
on.
So
music.
That is, it's a dream of mine to be like an A&R for a major record label. Mm. So I'm putting a little intention toward that next year.
Come on, 2020.
But I being that adjacent to people who are literal icons in music and have crafted things that people will never forget, I'm not unaware of the gravity of that.
Absolutely.
And I'm so fortunate and grateful for that. So we love y'all, Chuck and Claude. Lewis York, stream Lewis York's American Griots album on all streaming platforms.
Perfect.
Pay attention to the Shindellas, another beautiful group from the Weirdo Workshop House.
Our little sisters.
They're just cranking it out over there. So shout out to them.
Ladies and gentlemen, 2020 will mark the return of If I Were a Rapper.
Oh, man. Yay. Asante.
I don't have anything tentative right now, but because it's the holidays and I love music so much and I love to talk about music that drives me, a lot of people will release holiday music, so I will be dropping a special holiday edition of If I Were a Rapper on Friday.
Oh, right. Shit. This is so good.
Wonderful.
I'm gonna
be talking about holiday music from the past, some of the more recent holiday music that's been happening, and just get back to doing what I love. If I Were a Rapper, it's my baby, it's my child. It's something that I don't want to do it if I can't do it right. So I'm giving myself the tools to do it the way that I want to do it, and I just see it growing in a million different ways. Shout out to everybody that supported If I Were a Rapper. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the both of you for coming on the show separately.
So fun.
Having fun on there, really just providing your perspective on things. Shout out to y'all for doing that every week with me on music. You're two people whose musical opinions I value very, very much. I feel like we have similar opinions. I feel like we have very different opinions about things, and I think that that's important whenever you're building just a kind of a catalog of different things that you want to provide.
Me too.
Hopefully, I too would like to A&R with you, Dustin. But I will be. I've downloaded this program. I downloaded a tutorial program, and I'm going to be learning some musical things. So I'm going to be producing some beats.
Come on, I'm ready.
I have some little. I have projects that I've been kind of working on with people. Like I've been meeting people in passing, really cool people that want to do really cool shit with me. So yeah, this year has been blessed. Full of connections, and it's lit so many pathways for next year, and I'm just so excited and so happy to see myself grow in so many different ways and still be surrounded by so many important people. It's not just like I'm meeting people and they're just randos. So shout out to y'all. Shout out to Mandy. You're gonna see more of me and her next year.
Y'all are an amazing duo.
Yes.
Yeah. We have great, great chemistry in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. So she's someone that I can't wait to, you know, do more projects with. We have a lot of different cool things planned. She's putting me on in certain ways that I think are really cool. You know, I was there with her at the beginning of her show. So it's really, really dope to watch her growth and for her to still come through and support me as well. So just shout out to everyone that's part of the ecosystem and just more music shit next year. You know, dialing back to the emails, shout out to everybody that reached out, whether they were working at a label or they were working at like Ticketmaster somewhere and they wanted us to be in the building. Just shout out to all of you people that realize our passion for what we talk about.
We love live music we're so grateful for the people that reach out with those kind of opportunities.
Nothing cooler, man. Cooler.
So like, you know, I definitely want more of those opportunities for us to be able to be in those rooms and go to those shows, as well as more opportunities for us to be on stage with those artists, open, you know, co-signing these artists, because there are a lot of people that we believe in, we've talked about before they popped or since they popped, and we continue to support. So I just want us to continue to grow musically. I know we do very important in health ways, but you know, we're still having fun too, so don't just pigeonhole us. There's so many different things that we all do.
I mean that's all part of mental health. Music, laughter,
that's what I'm saying.
Get your mind right.
I met so many people I met so many listeners that told me that when they first started our show or they heard our show, they thought it was going to be all mental health and it was going to be too serious or too heavy, and they said that when they encountered some of that, it wasn't too serious or too heavy because we've given them so much to laugh about. We've given them so many things to you know, so much perspective. So, you know, for people that listen and they're not really sure what they're getting into, you know what you're getting into, because it's just like life. You know, you get into everything. So I just love that we have this platform together.
I'm getting in them draws on these 4 weeks we got off.
Wow. I too know.
Let's get those sleigh bells ringing. Ding, ding, jingling.
So with that said.
And we shall see.
Okay. With that said, I hope everyone has a happy holiday. I hope everyone gets to sit with their family and reflect. You know, if they're not sitting with their family, no, fuck them people. No, I'm just playing. I just hope everyone has a very, very good time and they enjoy their time away from the friend zone.
Also, damn, what was I going to say? Shout out to Ari Lennox.
Yeah, definitely shout out to
Ari. For showing love. Also, huge shout out to Estelle for always showing love to the friend zone.
Always.
There's just so many people that we could bring up. And I also want to give a huge shout out to BET, because one of the most unforgettable experiences I had this year was being part of a group of people that they invited to come out to the Soul Train Awards.
More of that.
And more, so much more. And that was just such an overwhelmingly positive experience. So shout out to everyone that was a part of that. And I just wanted to thank them because it really was, you know, you do work, you do gigs, you know, whatever, yeah. you keep it moving from one to the next, but that one was special.
Yeah.
We bonded during that time and it was just, it was an incredible experience. So shout out to them. That's all.
Yeah. And thank you for listening. As always, we love you so much.
Bye. I hope y'all get everything y'all want for Christmas too. I hope y'all do.
And we will catch you next month, next year.
Okay. Stay black and protect your magic.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. It's Rob Lowe here. If you haven't heard, I have a podcast that's called Literally with Rob Lowe. And basically, it's conversations I've had that really make you feel like you're pulling up a chair at an intimate dinner between myself and people that I admire, like Aaron Sorkin or Tiffany Haddish, Demi Moore, Chris Pratt, Michael J. Fox. There are new episodes out every Thursday. So subscribe, please, and listen wherever you get your podcasts.